6-4 over Rutgers. Now joined by the Badgers, Ronnie Porter. Congrats, Ronnie. What's it like to pick up this close one to start the Big Ten season?
It's great. It feels great. I think since I've been here, this is my first time winning my first Big Ten game, opener game. So it's definitely big for me personally and big for our team. It's a great accomplishment.
Take me through the final play for your team. You start to make the move, get tripped up at the foul line, foul called, less than a second to go, and you know you have to get to the free throw line to try to break the tie, and you do. Can you take us through that and what's going through your mind as the play develops and then to the free throw line?
Really to be my team's outlet if it's needed. Obviously, our first look is to go to Sarah for any game winner or one of our shooters. So then I was just like, look, we ain't got nothing. I got to do it. I got to be that person to make this difference and win this game for us. And when I got fouled, I was excited, but then when everything settled down, I definitely was like, I got to make these free throws. Missed the first one, but settled in to hit the second and, you know, help us get this W.
Yeah. What was the difference down the stretch, would you say? Because Rutgers in that fourth quarter kind of jumped out to a big lead, got back into the game. What was the difference down the stretch?
We just got to stay hungry. We see that we're up. We can't just settle. And that's what we did, and they stayed hungry the whole game, and that's what got them back into it. And we just got to stay hungry the whole 40 minutes, and we can win the game every game we play if we do.
Sharing the basketball has been a big emphasis for this team. 19 assists as a team. You had a season high 7 assists.
Okay.
I said the 19. You like that number?
Okay, yeah, for sure. I mean, when we share the ball, we're a great team. I mean, obviously, this sport is not a one-on-one game, and you got to pass the ball to make a play, and that's what we did tonight. Like you said, 19 assists is great, especially for us and what we've been through the past couple seasons. This is 19 is great to hear.
8-2 start for you and your teammates. Did you know that's the best start at Wisconsin in 15 years?
No, I didn't know that.
What do you think when you hear
that? That's crazy. I'm happy. I'm about to go celebrate. There's just nothing else to do about that. We came in this game, we always want to go 1-0 every game, and that's what we did tonight. And the next game, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, and we want to keep building this record.
Let's keep doing it. Thanks, Ronnie.
Thank you.
All right, that's Wisconsin's Ronnie Porter. Oh, sorry about that. Ronnie Porter, 66-64, Wisconsin. And now associate head coach Margaret McKeon will put on the headset, and we'll talk a little bit about this one with Coach McKeon. How'd you see it play out down the stretch for your team? And can you talk about what was trying to happen there at the end? Ronnie was saying you want to get it to Sarah. She's the outlet. She ended up with the ball in her hands.
Yeah, we were trying to get it to Sarah and try to do a two-man game with Ronnie and Sarah. And obviously, they were focused on Sarah, and then Ronnie had a lot of pressure on her. But Ronnie had, you know, the clue, and the, you know, she was very smart about the clock and understanding that it's going down, and I got to make something out of nothing. And she did, and they fouled. They did. It was a foul, but unfortunate, in those circumstances when it's just that close to being over, I can feel for Rutgers and their situation. And but Ronnie made a play and made the right play. So.
And then she made the free throw at least enough to get,
get
the lead, right?
And then Nat with the technical, you know, usually she's like steady Eddie on from the foul line. She makes 1 out of 2, which was great. And then we just needed to inbound the ball and it was kind of over.
So one of the things you mentioned to me on the pregame was just, you know, handling the boards, handling the offensive rebounds, even at 13 apiece on the offensive glass, and you out-rebound Rutgers by 7 today. How much of that was a key for your team?
Oh, my God, it was major key, like we talked about in the pregame talk. It's, you know, we needed to make sure that, you know, 54 and 1 didn't have more rebounds than our bigs. I think they might have they might have had one more than us. Mm-hmm. But still, Carter got on. The offensive glass was very helpful. Obviously, her foul trouble hurt a little bit down the stretch, but then Tess with that big shot, I mean, that's a huge shot.
The 3 in the corner, yeah.
Oh, my Lord. Yeah, so that's why we brought her here, because they were isolating. You know, they had 2 or 3 people around Sarah, so we weren't going to be able to get her the ball, but she had the confidence to make that happen, and I'm happy for her because she didn't have a stellar day from, you know, the three-point line, but she's 30%, and she got to shoot. She got to just keep shooting regardless. And Coach is like, if you're not going to shoot, I can't play you, you know, because that is her role.
Mm-hmm. And, so, and the, it goes in when you need it the most, too.
Oh, my God, thank the Lord, yes.
You know, at the free throw line, no free throws in that first half, 12 of 17. We talked about the free throws down the stretch the last 4, but 12 of 17, how big was it to start to get those under your belt, 6 of 7 in the third quarter.
I mean, our third quarter, we played really well
on
both ends of the floor. I mean, obviously the fourth quarter kind of, I don't know if we had some tired legs or whatever the case may be, but they got back in the game. They attacked us pretty hard, obviously, with their two main players. And they got to the foul line, as you said. So, but I'm just happy that we got out with the victory at home. We got to protect our home court, and we did. And I'm just thankful that Sarah had a big game for us once again. And there was everybody kind of contributed. Nat had a guard, you know, McMiller, and did a really nice job on her. I know she got her average, but we didn't want anything more than that, and Nat did an excellent job on her.
Two more questions for you. By the way, 6-0 at home this season, too. Sharing the basketball, career-high 6 assists for Sarah Williams, a season-high 7 assists for Ronnie Porter. How crucial was the 19 total assists today?
Oh, my gosh, yes. But, I mean, you know, execution-wise, we kind of had some trouble with the zone. We were prepared for a zone. We thought they might zone us or double Sarah or triple-team Sarah, but we just were kind of hesitant with what we were running and getting into stuff quickly, and they slowed us down. I thought that helped them get back in the game and then sustain some stuff in the fourth quarter. But to be honest with you, I mean, we shared the ball. I mean, Sarah's doing an unbelievable job, because last year it would be like one assist to maybe 6 turnovers. So she made that adjustment, and we are doing things as a group and as a team, and we're relying on one another, and that's big.
Final thought for you here. The last time a Wisconsin team was 8-2 was 2009-2010. So it's been about 15 seasons of Badgers basketball since a record like that. What's your reaction when you hear that?
That's why we're here. We're here to make a winning program and get to late in March. And in the Big Ten, you can do that if you finish in the top half. And, you know, this is a type of game you have to have because you're at home. And we found a way to win. These, you know, one thing about our team is resilient, just as coach, and coach is pretty fiery, so are they. And our backs were against a wall, and we found a way to get it done. So it's just a nice group to coach. We're trying to make strides in the right direction, recruiting-wise, building the program the right way with coach's culture. And I think it's starting to see it. You're starting to see what we're trying to build here and what could happen. And then I think these stands will be full in no time when we keep winning.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
All right, there you go. That's Associate Head Coach Margaret McKeon. Her Badgers a winner, 66-64 today in the Big Ten opener. We'll take a break and break down the numbers next. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
What does it mean to be locally owned and operated? For Cenex, it means everything. It means that we know if you take your coffee to go or if you like to stay a while. It means we've helped little leagues get jerseys and local festivals get funding. It means we know what our communities need. So you'll always leave Cenex with a full tank, full of snacks, or full of smiles. Or all of the above. And that means the world to us. Cenex, powered locally.
At U.S. Bank, when they say they're in it with you, they mean it. Not just for the good stuff, the grand openings and celebrations, although those are pretty great, but for all the hard work it took to get there, the fine-tuning of goals, the managing of cash and workflows and decision-making, they're in to help you through all of it. Because together they're proving day in and day out that there is nothing as powerful as the power of us. Visit usbank.com to get started today. Equal housing lender, member FDIC, copyright 2024 U.S. Bank.
Simpson's Tractor in Richland Center is ready to give you more choices, more savings with this year's Value Bonanza. The Value Bonanza sales event gives you more ways to save than ever before. You can take advantage of special financing plus cash back options on select New Holland equipment for a limited time. Save on tractors, save on hay and forage products, save on material handling equipment too. Visit Simpson's Tractor, your New Holland dealer in Richland Center today for complete details. Offers end December 31st, 2024.
Genuine steel products from Walsh's Ace are started, tested, and ready to go. Your steel purchase will include a warranty and expert advice from someone who's qualified to give it. And you can rest assured Walsh's Ace will be around when you, your children, or grandchildren need it serviced. Put steel to work for you with the help of Walsh's Ace. Real steel. Get yours now at Walsh's Ace in Richland Center.
Hear your favorite Wisconsin Badger sports broadcast right here on WRCE. Keeping your vehicle running at its best is easy with GM certified service from Jones Chevrolet. From oil changes to tires to brakes and multi-point inspections, Jones Chevrolet has the expertise, technology, and convenient hours to take good care of your vehicle. For the very best GM certified service, make an appointment soon by calling 647-3788 or stopping at Jones Chevrolet, Highway 14 East, Richland Center, or visit JonesChev.com. Chevrolet, together, let's drive.
Looking for an exciting career opportunity with a world leader in coated glass for residential windows and doors? Look no further than Cardinal CG. They're hiring for all shifts, including production positions, with the potential to earn up to $29 an hour. Enjoy up to 6 weeks of time off per year and start earning vacation hours on your very first day. Apply in person Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. until 3 p.m. Interviews and tours are available at 1024 East Madison Street in Spring Green. Join the Cardinal CG team today and be a part of the future of residential glass innovation.
Hear your favorite Wisconsin Badger sports broadcast right here on WRCE. Attention farmers and folks in need of quality supplies. Engine Creek Farm Store has got you covered. Located at 11678 Yuba Drive, Hillsboro, Wisconsin, Engine Creek Farm Store is your local oasis for all things farm and machinery supplies. From essential tools to supplies that keep your farm running smoothly, they've got it all. And guess what? Engine Creek Farm Store goes beyond the farm. You can also pick up some rugged clothes and boots for those hardworking days. Give them a call at 608-528-4001.
It's crunch time at A&W. Our double barbecue bacon crunch burgers are made with a tangy sauce, smoky bacon, and crispy fried onions. And believe us, it tastes even better than it sounds. Try one today, only at A&W.
Always made fresh root beer, always at A&W. Your A&W restaurant is located on Highway 61 in Boscobel. Stop by soon and enjoy.
At participating restaurants, prices may vary, tax extra.
Hear your favorite Wisconsin Badger sports broadcast right here on WRCE.
There's a small Wisconsin town where the population grows to 10 times its size every February.
Normally, we're about 2,600 people during Berkey Week. That gets up to 20,000, 30,000.
That's Blair Flickinger with the Foundation for the American Birkebeiner. The skiing marathon started with a couple of people carving a trail between Hayward and Cable 50 years ago. It's also a tribute to the ski culture of another country already hosting its own Birkebeiner. Is it Turkey, Norway, or Germany? The answer comes. Coming up,
there's a camaraderie that comes along with this event that is unparalleled.
A camaraderie between people who come to Hayward from around the world.
Make everyone feel like Hayward is their spot for the week.
So did you guess the Berkey was created as a tribute to Norway's 100-year-old race? And while our Berkey is a well-known winter event, it's still growing by adding other races all throughout the year. There's a slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Some banks today are a whole lot more interested in the interest you pay them than the interest they take in you. Richland County Bank, your local hometown bank, appreciates the chance to have you as a customer, but that's just the beginning. Richland County Bank is interested in you. It's a part of Richland County Bank's commitment to great customer service. If you're interested in a bank that's interested in you, Richland County Bank is the right choice. Member FDIC and equal housing lender. Learn more at richlandcountybank.com.
Hear your favorite Wisconsin Badger sports broadcast right here on WRCE.
Memorial Day weekend is around the corner, and the weather is perfect for planting. Whether it's tomatoes or cucumbers, petunias or cosmos, you'll find an outstanding selection of vegetable plants and flowers at the Winter Greenhouse. Join many enthusiastic gardeners and get prepared for an inspiring summer by visiting Winter Greenhouse. Visit this Memorial weekend, open 7 days a week from 8:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. 2 miles north of Winter off County Highway W.
April showers bring spring deals at Fraser's Mercantile in Catawba, Wisconsin, where history echoes through antique hardwood floors and rugged steel ceilings.
Fire up the grill with Two River ribeye steaks. Bone in for just $7.49 a pound. Get hickory smoked thick cut bacon 24-ounce pack for just $6.49. Plus sliced pepperoni and 8-ounce packs of salami for $2.49 each. Buy three and get one free. Wash it all down with 12 packs of honey Weiss for just $4.99. Complimentary 6-pack pudding packs while they last, just for stopping in during the month of April.
Discover all this and more at Fraser's Mercantile, home of unbeatable deals located on Highway 8 in Catawba, Wisconsin.
Bailey Payton Decorating reminds you that the perfect color should be enjoyed for years to come. Extraordinarily durable Benjamin Moore paint and exterior stain ensure exactly that. Bailey Paint and Benjamin Moore know that getting the right product is the secret of success. Bailey Paint and Decorating ensures you have the right color and products and offers the best paint you can buy in Benjamin Moore paint products. Bailey Paint and Decorating, Court Street, downtown Richland Center, your Benjamin Moore headquarters.
BL Signs, a full-service sign design company in Richland Center, specializes in creating all types of interior and exterior signage to meet your needs, from internally lighted aluminum sign cabinets to post and panel signs, LED channel letters, vinyl lettering, and more. BL Signs has you covered for your project, big or small. Call BL Signs today at 647-0149 to see what they can do for you. BL Signs, Richland Center.
Hear your favorite Wisconsin Badger sports broadcast right here on WRCE.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Like any other couple, I was lost. I had snapped, I had a gun, and I was going to take my own life. Heather helped me realize that there was still a life to live for the better of myself, my family. My weapon is now safely put away.
A moment of crisis can happen to anyone. Store your guns, locked, unloaded, and away from ammo. Hear more safe stories at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
Post-game show wrapping up here at the Kohl Center. 66-64, Wisconsin women's basketball, a winner over Rutgers in the Big Ten opener. 1-0 in Big Ten play for the Badgers, and 8-2 overall this season. Let's check the Big Ten scoreboard before we get to some final stats. So a few finals now in the Big Ten, including here obviously today, but elsewhere it was 25th-ranked Nebraska picking up a Big Ten victory over Minnesota, 84-65. Number 24, Michigan State, played a non-conference matchup against DePaul and won 89-61. Number 23, Michigan in Ann Arbor, a win over Northwestern, 60-54. This one in the third quarter, about 3 minutes to go, 12th-ranked Ohio State leads number 21, Illinois, 54-38. And number one, UCLA, undefeated this season at 7-0, leads Washington early first quarter. It's 12-10 there. All right, let's take a look at these final numbers. A lot of big numbers for some of the Badgers on the court. But first for Rutgers, they were led by Destiny Adams, 23 points on 10 of 23 shooting with 7 rebounds in 36 minutes. Mick Miller scored 20 points. A freshman grabbed 6 rebounds, handed out 4 assists on 9 of 19 shooting. After that, the scoring for Rutgers drops to 8 for Cornwell with 11 rebounds in 27 minutes. And then 4 points for Thompson and 4 points for Lacey. Lacey did secure 6 rebounds. 3 points from Perkins and 2 from Petticord. For the Badgers, 3 players in double figures. Sarah Williams picks up her 6th double-double of the season. 20 points and 13 rebounds with a career-high 6 assists from Williams. She was 7 of 10 from the floor and made 6 of 7 from the free throw line. Williams did not record a block today, however. Badgers had, what did I say, just 1 block today, I believe? Here, let me push this button over here. Yeah, they had just 1 block. It was from Carter McRae, so no blocks for Williams today, but 20 and 13. Then 14 points for Carter McRae. She picked up 8 rebounds as well, 27 minutes, 7 of 9 from the floor. She's 23 of her last 26 from the field. She did foul out of this game. Tess Myers, the big three, put her up and into double figures, the three late, 11 points on 4 of 13 shooting, including 3 of 10 from downtown for Myers. Then it was 9 for Ronnie Porter with a season-high 7 assists. 9 points for Natalie Leitzinger. She picked up 5 rebounds in 36 minutes. And 3 points from Hallie Douglas on 1 of 3 shooting with 5 rebounds. Cron played 10 minutes, 0 of 3. Jimenez played 4 minutes, did not attempt a shot, did have an assist for Wisconsin. 66-64. Wisconsin is now 8-2 and 1-0 in the Big Ten. Let's listen to some of the highlights from today's Badgers win. McRae sets a high screen on Mick Miller. Leitzinger flips it back inside. McCray catches, shot blocked down low. McCray gets it back and puts it up and in for two. McCray is just too much down low right now for Rutgers. Left elbow, kicks to the corner. Myers for three. Shot clock buzzer sounds, and it's good for Tess Myers. Right before the shot clock buzzer. Spins out on top to Leitzinger. Leaves it for Williams. Back out, Porter, right side, three, and it's in for Ronnie. Porter drills the triple, and Wisconsin leads by three. Double team on Nat. Back out to Myers, out on top, back to the left side. Leitzinger, rainbow three, no good. It's loose in the paint. It's grabbed by Williams. Out to Myers for three. Bring it up, Tess Myers from downtown. Wisconsin leading 38-33 over the Scarlet Knights. 5:05 to go in the third quarter. Leitzinger, three. Left side, ring it up. Natalie Leitzinger from downtown. Douglas inbounding, gets it to Porter. Porter defended by Petticoat. Here we go. Clock ticks away. 20 seconds on the shot clock, 39 on the game clock. Left corner three. Myers connects from the corner. Tess Myers from downtown. Wisconsin takes the lead with 35.2 seconds to go. With less than a second to play, just need to get it inbounded. Williams catches, buzzer sounds, a shove by Cornwell, doesn't matter. Wisconsin survives and starts the Big Ten season with a win. 66-64 over Rutgers. And the Badgers are off to an 8-2 start this season, their best start in 15 years. 66-64, the final score. Wisconsin wins it down the stretch. And the Badgers are 1-0 in the Big Ten. Rutgers falls to 5-4 this season and 0-1 in the conference. Ronnie Porter got tripped up on a drive. A foul was called with less than a second to go. Rutgers coach Coquise Washington then got a technical foul called against her. The Badgers, Ronnie Porter goes 1 of 2 at the line. Then they shoot the technical free throws. Leitzinger goes 1 of 2 at the line. Badgers by 2. Inbound ball game. Wisconsin 1-0 in the Big Ten, 8-2 this season. And there you go. Some of the highlights from today's Wisconsin W. Badgers now 8-2 this year. Up next, back to the non-conference for Wisconsin. They'll be on the road coming up this week against Butler. Badgers take on Butler on Wednesday. Then it's back here on December 20th at the Kohl Center for another non-conference against Albany before the Big Ten kicks back into gear on December 28th. So the Badgers, a winner here tonight, 66-64. I'd like to thank Adam Morrison for producing back in Jefferson City. For Adam, I'm John Audius saying so long from the Kohl Center in Madison, where the Badgers are a winner by 2 over Rutgers this afternoon. Thanks for listening to Wisconsin Women's Basketball.
What does it mean to be locally owned and operated? For Cenex, it means everything. It means that we know if you take your coffee to go or if you like to stay a while. It means we've helped little leagues get jerseys and local festivals get funding. It means we know what our communities need. So you'll always leave Cenex with a full tank, full of snacks, or full of smiles. Or all of the above. And that means the world to us. Cenex, powered locally.
The big game, family, friends. We know you count on Alliant Energy to deliver the safe, reliable energy you need, whether you're watching the game, cooking your famous burger, or leaving a light on for loved ones. For us, it means going beyond the expected to make sure we're planning for the energy you need today and tomorrow. That way you can keep your eye on the ball and focus on what's most important to you. Find out more at AlliantEnergy.com/poweringbeyond.
At U.S. Bank, when they say they're in it with you, they mean it. Not just for the good stuff,
the grand openings and celebrations, although those are pretty great. But for all the hard work it took to get there, the fine-tuning of goals, the managing of cash and workflows and decision-making, they're in to help you through all of it. Because together they're proving day in and day out that there is nothing as powerful as the power of us. Visit usbank.com to get started today. Equal housing lender, member FDIC, copyright 2024 U.S. Bank.
Are you seeking a better career? Rail Transport offers truck drivers a variety of driving jobs earning top wages. No CDL? No problem. Get paid to get your CDL with Rail's on-the-job paid training program. We're also seeking top talent for driver and customer support positions. To see all the career opportunities at Rail and how you can take home more and be home more, visit rail.jobs. That's rail.jobs. Rail Transport is a proud sponsor of the Badgers.
Wisconsin women's basketball has been brought to you by Alliant Energy. Alliant Energy is powering beyond for you. And by UW Health Sports Medicine, treating the Badgers, treating you. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Badger Sports Network.
That it would be a Supreme Court that would listen and really actually apply, you know, the Constitution and the rule of law, et cetera. So it was a long, hard-fought battle. So we've got a lot more work to do, but excited about it.
Oh, yeah. It is a refreshing change that the Wisconsin Supreme Court is no longer a subsidiary of Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, at least until April 1st, which I imagine, given that Education Allies have been plenty active already in trying to change the political landscape out there. I imagine that enthusiasm level, believe it or not, is going to be ramped up even higher as a result of this decision when you look at how pivotal that April 1st Supreme Court race is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think on both sides, Pat, to be honest with you, I think that those on the Republican side, particularly Robin Voss and others, you know, they're going to look at this is their way to be able to curtail some of the things that have been happening, particularly the redrawing of maps. I mean, that was this Supreme Court. Again, I think they're going to invest a lot. They're going to put a lot. This is going to be a very expensive Supreme Court race. It's going to be a very tough one. But like I said, we're in it to win it. And we're just not going to back down. This is too important to us.
And then I just want to come back briefly on the point that you made. What really changes here is that Act 10 limited negotiating pretty much to wages, which, of course, were capped at the inflation rate. So there really wasn't much to negotiate. There's all this flexibility now with what I guess the shorthand version would be working conditions. But that kind of flexibility is where you think there can be some real strength in fixing what is ailing some of education in Wisconsin.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, in all my years as a local president in Eau Claire and having the opportunity to be a part of the bargaining team and do bargaining in the Eau Claire Area School District, you know, never in all my years as a union leader did we ever want to bankrupt the district. That really, I mean, we had the mediation arbitration law in there that took care of all the wage part of it. It was some of those other pieces, the language pieces that really really were important to our members, the number of sick days we get, et cetera. You know, all that kind of stuff is incredibly important to the working conditions for our employees. It's a tough 9 months when you're a teacher. And so being able to have the kind of working conditions that help our educators is critically important.
It is a level of respect that has been long overdue, dating back to the Scott Walker years, that we see finally slowly being restored in Wisconsin. Duff Martin, it is always great to talk to you. Safe travels, and we'll continue to follow matters, especially between now and April, but all the time with you as an education advocate. Thanks, Duff, for the time.
Yep. Thanks, Pat. Good to see you.
You bet. When we come back, we'll talk to folks in the Hudson School District about the fork in the road faced after a referendum last month. That's on Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Radio with Pat Kreitlow is affiliated with the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on select Civic Media stations weekday mornings from 6 until 8. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. News from the Center, WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Bashar al-Assad is out in Syria. Yesterday he was the nation's dictator. Today, Russian media reporting he's been granted asylum in Moscow. His regime collapsing after a lightning-fast rebel offensive. The concern, those rebels who are now in control. Former State Department official and ABC News contributor Mick Mulroy says that rebel group was once linked to ISIS.
The biggest concern right now is who is in control of the major weapon systems, the chemical weapons that the Assad regime possessed.
CENTCOM says U.S. forces preemptively attacked 75 targets in Syria to keep them from falling into the hands of extremists. Dive team searching the waters of Central Park for the murder weapon used to kill the UnitedHealthcare CEO. It's now thought that the suspect may have taken a bus to Atlanta. NYPD now in that city investigating. President-elect Trump today calling for an immediate ceasefire in Russia's war with Ukraine and renewed warnings that he was open to pulling the United States out of NATO. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska filling in for Mike Clemens with Civic Media Sports. Marquette defeated Wisconsin yesterday 88-74 in a matchup of ranked teams. It was the fifth time in history both schools were ranked when they played each other. The Badgers led by 2 at halftime, but 9 second-half turnovers forced by the Golden Eagles led to a big comeback. Marquette head coach Shaka Smart got his first win over the Badgers in 4 tries.
It's a terrific game and awesome atmosphere. Really grateful for our fans. The way they lit up Fiserv today. This is what college basketball is all about. I'm really grateful for the fact that there's two great college basketball programs in this state and that we get to play every year.
Four Marquette players scored in double figures, and the Golden Eagles shot 50% in the win. Next up for 8-2 Wisconsin is number 19 Illinois on Tuesday. Marquette will face Dayton a week from Saturday. The Milwaukee Bucks will play this evening against the Brooklyn Nets. The Bucks are coming off of back-to-back losses. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska for Civic Media Sports.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Becoming partly cloudy tonight, lows in the mid-30s. Sunshine for Monday, nice day with highs back to the upper 40s. For Monday night, mostly cloudy and a low of 25. Tuesday, partly sunny, 29. Cooler Wednesday, 22. And cold Thursday with a high of 12. Right now, it's 52.
Memorial Day weekend is around the corner, and the weather is perfect for planting. Whether it's tomatoes or cucumbers, petunias or cosmos, you'll find an outstanding selection of vegetable plants and flowers at the Winter Greenhouse. Join many enthusiastic gardeners and get prepared for an inspiring summer by visiting Winter Greenhouse. Visit this Memorial weekend, open 7 days a week from 8:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. 2 miles north of Winter off County Highway W.
April showers bring spring deals at Fraser's Mercantile in Catawba, Wisconsin, where history echoes through antique hardwood floors and rugged steel ceilings.
Fire up the grill with Two River Ribeye Steaks. Bone in for just $7.49 a pound. Get hickory smoked thick-cut bacon 24-ounce pack for just $6.49. Plus sliced pepperoni and 8-ounce packs of salami for $2.49 each. Buy three and get one free. Wash it all down with 12 packs of Honey Weiss for just $4.99. Complimentary 6-pack pudding packs while they last, just for stopping in during the month of April.
Discover all this and more at Fraser's Mercantile, home of unbeatable deals located on Highway 8 in Catawba, Wisconsin.
Bailey Paint and Decorating reminds you that the perfect color should be enjoyed for years to come. Extraordinarily durable Benjamin Moore paint and exterior stain ensure exactly that. Bailey Paint and Benjamin Moore know that getting the right product is the secret of success. Bailey Paint and Decorating ensures you have the right color and products and offers the best paint you can buy in Benjamin Moore paint products. Bailey Paint and Decorating, Court Street, Downtown Richland Center, your Benjamin Moore headquarters.
DL Signs, a full-service sign design company in Richland Center, specializes in creating all types of interior and exterior signage to meet your needs, from internally lighted aluminum sign cabinets to post and panel signs, LED channel letters, vinyl lettering, and more. BL Signs has you covered for your project, big or small. Call BL Signs today at 6.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Dr. Kristen Lierley, who will address all our health needs to make us more efficient TV watchers. Then Nightlight will really go up in smoke when I welcome Rose Bauman from Legacy Cigars.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Civic Media Spotlight. Up next, we'll hear from Matt Nair on air. And this week, Jane and Greg welcomed in Emily Cephos, former candidate for the Assembly and volunteer at the county level for the Democratic Party. She discusses what Democrats need to do differently in upcoming elections and how to build support at the county level.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on air. Jane, Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Sweet Galby coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just a reminder, we will wrap up the show today at 11:51, as we always do, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Olfactory Edition. You're going to want to stick around for that. It might not be exactly what you think.
It's never, Jane, what
it's
you
never,
think.
It's never what you think.
It's always the opposite of what you think and or want.
Very excited to have our next guest join us. I stumbled on you on Twitter after the election. Emily Cephos is here. She's a former Assembly candidate and a county party volunteer in the Fox Valley area. And Emily, you had this great thread about going forward and how Democrats can move forward after November 5th. And so where would you like to start? What do you think? Because you've knocked on a lot of doors.
I have. Yes. Yeah. Thanks for having me. I think that, you know, I put up something after I took a little bit of time to process what I did well, what I maybe reflected that I could have done better at myself, and also being as close as I am to the Democratic Party as a whole. Really, I understand how that whole ecosystem works during an electoral cycle. And I also see just this untapped potential that exists with neighbors that we've never talked to before, but also strategy that Dems, I think, can employ to further our cause so that we're not starting at square one every single cycle. We need to focus on the building. And that's really what that was all about and where I want to see the party going.
Well, and I think there's been a lot of discussion, obviously, about Ben Wickler and what Ben Wickler has done since he kind of took things over here in Wisconsin. And now he's obviously throwing his hat in nationally. But it does seem like we do a great ground game 3 months leading up to the election, and I'm not sure what's going on the rest of the time, right?
Yeah. And there's, the ground game is unmatched. And Ben has been incredible when it comes to fundraising and when it comes to, deploying all of us across the state. But I think there are some things during those electoral cycles that we can do a little bit better. I think that we count out too many people when it comes to, going a little bit further into the red, talking to our neighbors about issues and doing it in a way that resonates with them because it's local and it's right outside their front door. So I think that we need to acknowledge where we are as a nation when it comes to our politics, in that we are being told to mistrust one another. And so in order to start building, we need to see the value and the worth in hitting every single door we can within a certain
certain parameters. Yeah. Sure.
Yes, exactly. You're not going to go and but I've walked up to doors that had big Trump signs on it. And I said, it looks like you've got your mind made up at the top, but I'm here to talk about your most local representation. So you can still salvage tickets in those situations. And that's what I'm talking about, that building where it's like, if I show up and I do a good job for you, and I hope to, then next time you'll extend that upward. And we have to be thinking long-term about what we can do again to make sure we're not starting at the same starting point every electoral cycle. And then in the interim, I think that a priority needs to be given to our county parties. We're the people that are, we live, work, and play here.
Yep.
And so we know our communities well. We know what issues people are talking about. We know who's struggling and who's not. We're going to the supper clubs and churches and Friday night football games. Help us to empower our local people to have that drumbeat continue throughout the whole cycle. And so we can, again, be building that trust and relationship, and we'll see results in subsequent elections.
I know that one of the things that we would always talk about individuals who are knocking on the doors, especially in this past election, is, who are you talking to? What are you talking about? What are the things that unite us rather than divide us? And one thing that they always said was exactly what you said, Emily, is that they would either, you know, come across people or go to doors of individuals who clearly look like they were not supporting them. And they would find out like, oh, well, the sign is my husband or my wife. I'm voting this way, or I don't really care. Or they just think, well, I'm going to vote for this person. Therefore, I'm obviously not going to vote for this person because they're not the party I like or know. And then they have a conversation and you find out that not only are they enlightened by the discussion, but also they're not used to, especially in Wisconsin and gerrymandered maps, they're not used to politicians having to really work hard to get those seats.
Yeah.
So this outpouring of attention, it shows up and people, like, you see it on their face and they're like, oh, I've never had anyone talk to me before. It's okay. Here's what's going on in my life, you know, and that leaves a lasting mark.
Right. Right. And I think, like, I've been on doors, like, this district is in the Fox Valley area, but it went out to like New London, like very far out of town. And I went to doors where they're like, I have, you know, like never had anyone knock on my door before. And so whether or not they were big fans of the Democratic Party, and I always led with like myself, cause I'm right there. Right. Like to say to a person, like, what are you concerned about? And they might be concerned about their public schools, like knowing that they've got a leaky roof in Freedom, for example, and to say, well, like our schools have been underfunded. Right. So that's something that at the state level we can change. And then also, since you just told me that public schools are really important to you, they want to do away with the Department of Ed. Right. And so you bring them in at the ground level and then you bring them up in an elevator. I always say, like, where it's like we enter here where it's right outside your door, because those are things that we mostly agree upon. And then it's twisted somewhere along the way. But then you extend that upward. And maybe, like, there were people that reached out to me after the fifth that were like Republicans and independents and libertarians. And they were like, just so you know, I held up my end of the bargain. Like, I split that ticket for you. And those are like where I'm like, we build on that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we want next time then to go back to Joe or Tom or whoever it is and say, hey, we talked to you last time, same goals. Like, I want you to put that trust in me again, and we'll continue to make inroads.
Well, and I do think that certainly this election cycle where we saw the Democrats take some seats that had been held for a long time by Republicans. Now that we have fairer maps, they may have gone ahead, as you said, Emily, and voted for Trump at the top of the ticket. But obviously those conversations made a difference in some areas of Wisconsin. So you had mentioned that you would like to see the county parties be given a little more, is it autonomy or is it just funding, or what steps would you like to see to happen?
I think like the autonomy piece is huge. I think extending a little bit of trust to us at the grassroots level to say, we know our community's best. Here's what everybody's talking about. And then tailoring a message that is very local, very right outside their door. Again, like, I think that the electorate typically isn't super involved when it comes to understanding policy.
Right.
And so you can't go there and debate, you know, what tariffs will actually do to your grocery prices necessarily, but you can like start at the local level, be like, yeah, I get it. It's really hard to make ends meet, and then tailor that message so that it does, it connects it eventually for them, but it starts at a local level. Because I always think about like to go to doors and like, sometimes, you know, like you're told, and of course, like there are people, you know, we all kind of ad lib at certain points, but if we're told to lead with the top of the ticket as a Democrat at a person's door who doesn't typically align with the Democratic Party, the door is shut in your face right away.
Absolutely.
But if you start at the bottom and you're like, let's talk about the things that we can find in common here, then they're like, oh, I did not see myself in that. But you respectfully having a conversation to like widen that lens a little bit, like allowed me a moment to reconsider maybe what I was doing. And again, it's like, it's building for the long term. And I think like what I want to see is that we don't discount the slow and steady smaller successes that we need to see if we want to build back. Like, I think that the goal for the party should obviously be like, we got a 20-year plan, and in 20 years, this is not a battleground state. This is solidly blue.
Yeah.
How, and then work back. How are we going to organize to make that reality for us? And that's like what, at least at the county party level, kind of the frustration with like the whole X threat or whatever, is that I don't hear that happening. And I'm like, I'm one of your most dedicated volunteers.
Yeah.
Like, but if we on the ground are not the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, then who is? You know, like if we don't have a say and we're not collaborative about it, then who is?
I think that's another thing, Emily, you brought up. I think it's a good point to make, too, is that we, you know, whether if you are a liberal or a Democrat or are on the left, it's easy to think like, oh, if they have a Trump sign, they're going to shut the door in my face. Democrats have a problem with not agreeing with each other quietly.
That never happens.
And this whole notion now of it's the day after the election, Kamala has lost. We need to burn everything to the ground. Yeah. I think that's right. Counterproductive as well. But I think important right here is the discussion about the counties. And I think I used to be a member of a county Democratic Party here in Racine. And I think my biggest gripe, and if they're listening, sorry, but my biggest gripe is the recruitment of younger people into the party with a vision that can take us into the future. Because when you watch the DNC, you saw young people in control making that a very fun, energetic, alive event. And you need to have, as you said, too, a goal to say, like, all right, let's say you want to run someone against Robin Voss. You can't just say, all right, in 2 years, we're going to run you. We're going to say, Emily, we're going to run you in 6 years, but this is what we're going to do over 6 years, and we're going to make you known. It can't just be like, oh, it's 6 months into the election. Emily, do you want to run?
You busy?
We need someone.
Yeah, just drop you in there. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. You need to have that plan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's such a lack of vision sometimes in some of those parties, and I understand. I get why, but it's also then hard to knock on the doors of power within those parties and say, I have an idea, because some people really love their power. And you just have to wait it out.
Well, and that's unfortunate, right? Because we all want to demonize the other side, yeah, right? But I think there are some people who have been in power in a long time in the Democratic Party, Chuck Schumer, and who could. It's time to pass the torch. It's time to bring in some younger blood. It's time, as you said, Emily, to start planning for 20 years down the road when Chuck Schumer and those guys are going to be gone.
And you think about the way that the Republicans have done it too. Like, we're living through the culmination of decades of planning. Like,
yes.
This is not something that is just like, oh, it just happened. No, this is something that they had that vision and we were behind on it. To my knowledge, like, I don't feel connected to it. So what we're doing like locally, because the wheels of big machines turn slowly, is that locally we're like, what can we do? But it is like, to, you know, Greg, your point that, like, I have organizing background, so I'm like, okay, like, if this doesn't exist in the system level, mm-hmm, like, I will help to build it, and it might not be perfect, but we're going to work toward it.
Yeah.
But like, there are people that are good people that are like, well, I'm just used to like the door knocking, and I'm used to the electoral like 3 months before stuff, and they need to be like trained up. And that's why I just want to see like the party as a whole acknowledging that, or like actual organizing and building in the in-between is what we need to be doing right now. You know, so it brings more people in, and it makes those inroads so somebody can run and beat Robin Voss eventually someday.
I know. Wishful.
A boy can dream.
If you're just joining us, Emily Sefos is our guest. She's a former assembly candidate and a county party volunteer in the Fox Valley. I want to back up just a little bit, Emily, to something that you said, and I don't know this to be true, but I can see this happening, where the National Democratic Party comes to the little local county parties and says, this is the messaging we want you to take out to the doors. That's a huge mistake. As you said, it's, you know what's going on the ground with your neighbors at your schools and your churches and the bars and whatever, and you can't be expected to all go out with the same messaging. It's not going to work.
No, we're not like little drones, and it's just like the same messaging to the same people over and over, which is like another, you know, reflection of mine where I'm like, why are we discrediting and discounting these, you know, these rural areas or these more suburban areas and going to the same doors like 3 or 4 times with like the same message again and again and again? Is that really the most effective use of our people?
I think it's interesting because we have people, especially farmers, on here talking about how all policy affects them, but specifically how the upcoming Trump policies will affect them, and as they did in 2016. But you have one side that cannot say boo about their leadership, and you have another side that's like, well, maybe we should bring in a little more nuanced discussion about our differences, when really, when it comes down to it, the people at the bar, one guy may have voted for Kamala, one woman may have voted for Trump, but they have existing qualities that are alike, and they can talk it out.
Yep.
And we don't give them enough credit to do so.
Yeah, exactly. And if we don't show up, then there is only, you know, like, then it is as it's always been.
Right.
And so why?
Right. Well, then you're just ceding the territory, as I think you said in your thread on Twitter.
Yeah.
Really. And you can't discount them. So
no, we're going to continue our conversation with Emily Sefos. If you would like to join us, 855 855- 752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Putz de Leon continues to actively ruin. We will be back in just a moment. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close.
Matt Nair on Air is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday mornings from 10 till noon. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. This is News from the Center, WRCE. The Maggie Dawn Show.
We know what happened the last time Trump applied this ham-fisted tariff policy. He had to write a $12 billion check to farmers because he crushed so many of our agricultural exports. It drove up the cost of single-family homes because the cost of lumber from places like Canada went way the frick up. Everything got more expensive.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Wrapping up hour one of the Civic Media Spotlight, we return to the topic of Act 10. Maggie Dawn of The Maggie Dawn Show is an attorney as well as a talk show host. She gives her take on the law which stripped public employees of their collective bargaining rights.
Nobody does talk radio like Civic Media. So glad y'all are here. We got Cardi behind the board. Give us a call. Everybody's wanted to talk about Act 10, the Act 10 decision. Unions, what is collective bargaining? Why does it matter? Can we have discussions about where unions might fall a little short? Because I think these are actually really complicated, fascinating issues. Let's continue to talk about this. Y'all have had a ton of comments. I know, Mark, you were on the horn. I think we had somebody else. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I never want to shut it down when we are having one of our patented great conversations. So please, let's reengage. This is something that, again, I have had a front row seat to, which is the impact of Act 10. Both as a frontline employee, I was in the municipal lawyers union at the city of Milwaukee when I first joined because I was just a frontline staffer. I eventually ended up running the city of Milwaukee's 401k styled plan and putting in some major changes there. And employees didn't trust us because they had just watched their paychecks get cut effectively by somewhere. Sometimes over 10%, depending, based on Act 10. Lots of distrust, and I ended up in management at Milwaukee County. So I've seen this from all sides. And at Milwaukee County, as a manager, as the leader of our law department, I worked with HR in negotiating with our public safety unions. I know what that looks like. I know what the process feels like. I know where the pitfalls are. I know how the lawyers act that represent unions. So I am here for all of your comments and discussions. This is one of those where I think like the party lines, both from conservatives and from liberals on this, don't quite get it done. Okay. And so I in full disclosure, I'm going to try to take every single call and every single text I'm going to give some voice to so that we can actually have this discussion. I think it's an incredibly important one. And I'm going to just start right out of the box by giving you what my take is on, I'm going to keep it narrow to public sector unions, but some of the commentary can extend into private sector unions. Here's the fundamental point for me. I have always thought that Act 10 is unconstitutional. When you strip away frontline employees' rights to get together and fight for better working conditions, better pay, and higher benefits, that is a violation of our constitutionally protected right to assemble. That's what that is about. If you want to talk about being a Christian, well, one of the best known Christians out there, or groups of Christians, is the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church for centuries has talked about the dignity and necessity for the full expression of human dignity to be able to organize as labor. Okay? That is fundamental. I will always support the right of workers to organize. Here's where it gets a little complicated. I want unions to actually represent all of their membership. I want unions to be aware of how politically labor is being represented. And by that, I mean not who is their elected representatives, but does the labor union or the union movement continue to have, or does it need to regrow, the faith of the general public, as well as its youngest union membership? My experience has been that unions are really great at advocating for their very senior and top level employees. I wonder why that is. But they don't do so well advocating for and advancing their interests of their most junior employees. I also think that compensation that is only tenure-based is problematic. Should tenure be a part of compensation decisions? You bet. But should compensation and bonuses also be based on effectiveness, efficiency, attitude, all those kinds of things? Yes. Unions have not traditionally been really good at talking about that, right? These are the sorts of things that provide attack opportunities for those that want to degrade the ability of working people to organize, which is fundamentally anti-American and anti-democratic small d. Let's see here. Andrew from Maine, side note, not Act 10. Oh, he loves my T-shirt today. It's such a simple, obvious message. Yes, my T-shirt, if you are not watching on the U of the Tube or the X or the face of the books, says trust Democratic women. I am a Democratic woman. I hope you trust me. Thank you, Andrew. West from Middleton says, per the Walker Voss School of Thought, Dr. Ben and those out in the streets answering the crisis lines at work for governments, connecting people to resources are not public safety. I'm excited to see them attempt to explain that in court. This is one of the issues with Act 10. When you think about public safety employees, conservation wardens carry guns, all kinds of folks carry guns and enforce laws, but they weren't included in the definition of public safety. And by the way, at the end of the day, what do all governmental employees try to do? Increase public health, safety, and wellness. So why isn't it all public safety? In other words, who got to bargain about what could not be rationally explained? And by the way, one of the biggest rationales could have been cost savings, but they couldn't make that argument because the largest drivers of costs, especially in the city of Milwaukee, were police and fire benefits and pensions. So they could never say that. That's why when they go, oh, it's about the cost savings now, is a bunch of hooey, okay? That is just bogus. It was raw political calculation. Let me keep going down the text line. Dave from Waukesha. It's hard to want to carry the torch of advocacy post-election. Even before the election, it felt like wind was knocked out of my sails. I stopped listening to talk radio for a while because of how I was feeling. I worked hard as an advocate against MAGA school board, BS in Waukesha for the last few years, and the LGBTQ hate parade. Now I feel somewhat rudderless, like it's all for naught. Wondering if there is a segment of folks out there who are feeling the same. I do sometimes too, Dave, but I will say this. The very fact that we're having this discussion about Act 10, that there is this lawsuit that's going on, get involved in your local and state government. Pay attention to these elections because these matter a whole lot. We may not be able to do much on the federal level for the next 4 years, though keep an eye on the House of Representatives, right? Like, holy cow, keep an eye there. That might be a 1 or 2 seat margin, so it's not going to take much. but local and state government, especially that Supreme Court election in April, keeping me motivated. We're going to come back, finish this discussion up, y'all. I'm going to go to the phones and back to the text lines next. 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. I'm Maggie Dawn. Keep it locked, y'all. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Maggie Dawn Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday afternoons from 2 until 4. To learn more about this show and all of Civic Media... News from the Center, WRCE. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll take a look back at the weekend, update you on the news, and get you into the holiday season as we prepare to travel to Seattle. Join us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Pat Kreitlow, all your time in the media, television, radio, what have you, what was one or two of the oddest things that people were complaining about?
As a TV anchor, your hair.
You have some of the finest hair around. How can anybody criticize your hair?
Oh, well, because a consultant forced me to change it.
Were there focus groups?
I'm not aware of any focus groups other than the audience, which universally hated it. It was a bowl haircut.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.